When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
In 15 minutes, thereabouts, another keyword will be revealed here on the show. It's the KFI Cash Refill Contest. Take note of that word, follow the directions, and you could win $1,000. This is all coming to an end for now, tomorrow. So it's the last couple of days of the Cash Refill Contest on KFI. And a reminder, tomorrow, the Moist Line is swinging back around. We'd be happy to have your calls, usually. They've been very entertaining the last couple of weeks, though, I have to say. There's been a real uptick and very entertaining. Some people are entertaining because they're angry. They almost don't make sense, but they're really rambling and screaming. And some people have made some pretty good jokes about what's going on in the world. Use the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is a way to connect with the Moist Line. Call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, one of the things in the news today concerns the health of well-known people, John Cobalt, the health of well-known people. The announcement was made a few hours ago that Bruce Willis, who, of course, about a year ago was diagnosed with aphasia, has now been diagnosed more specifically with something called frontotemporal dementia, or FTD, his family announced today. Apparently his condition has progressed, and we now have a more specific diagnosis, frontotemporal dementia, was a statement that was released by his family. They say the challenges with communications are just one symptom of the disease. While this is painful, it's a relief to finally have a clear diagnosis. Willis, of course, is 67 years old, which seems a little young for something as...
This tends to hit people under the age of 60.
This particular type of this FTD?
If you get dementia young, often it's this specific diagnosis.
Oh, I see. This particular diagnosis.
Yeah.
It's pretty ominous. According to the Association of Frontotemporal Degeneration, there are currently no disease-modifying treatments for FTD. There is no cure. There is no way to prevent its onset. Average life expectancy is 7 to 13 years after the start of symptoms. So, you're right, John. It's the most common form of dementia for people younger than 60. And sometimes getting the diagnosis can take years. Yeah, because I remember a year ago when they diagnosed him with aphasia. I mean, we all had to look up what that was, but it seemed like maybe something else was going on there. And apparently this is...
That's too bad.
On movie sets, he was apparently rather confused about things that were going on.
There's no coming back. It just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
So...
And in fact, there were rumors for years about his work on movie sets, so it just didn't really make the news until the family, I guess, decided to release it, that he had something. That was a year ago. And now today, they want everyone to know that he actually has a form of dementia.
Did you see the study that came out this week that they think Alzheimer's might be caused by fructose production in the brain?
Oh, no.
Isn't
that like a sweetener? Or?
Yeah. In fact, high fructose corn syrup is in a lot of beverages.
Yeah, I see that on the labels.
Yeah.
Although some now say no high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
To try to make people feel better. So I guess there's been some negative things about this stuff.
Well, this study was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and they think at least some Alzheimer's could be caused by diet. We make the case that Alzheimer's disease is driven by diet, said the lead author, Dr. Richard Johnson, professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine.
Mad cow!
It's apparently got something to do with an ancient instinct in the human brain to forage for food.
Right.
And that if you stimulate that instinct with fructose sugar, that will intensify your desire for it. And it's really complicated. I couldn't read all this out loud. But yeah. It's so detailed, it makes me think maybe they're really onto something here.
Oh, boy.
Because it says the fructose reduces blood flow to the cerebral cortex, which is involved in self-control. And so people end up craving more and more sugar.
Oh.
Because of what the fructose does.
Oh, that's I did read that.
Yeah.
That's true.
You might have.
Anyway, just in some soft drinks.
Yeah. Because they have said that some people seem to get addicted to sugar. And when I first heard that, and I thought, well, that doesn't sound right. But it may be true.
No. The rumors about his problems go back 3-4 years, apparently, on movie sets. He was apparently not understanding the dialogue, couldn't remember his lines, and famously, during one movie, they actually fitted him with an earpiece so somebody could feed him his lines, and he could just say them right there on the set. So that's where he could not remember any dialogue. Yeah, an actor who traveled with Willis would feed the star his lines through an earpiece. And most action scenes were filmed using a body double because that became difficult, too. So that's too bad. Now, the other well-known person in the news with health issues, and this is really twice in just a couple of weeks, is the brand new U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman. He had already been checked out a couple of weeks ago. He was feeling lightheaded. And that was a big headline because people thought, oh, my God, he's had another stroke. John Fetterman, of course, is the tall, bald-headed candidate who defeated Dr. Oz in the Pennsylvania Senate race. But during the middle of the campaign last year, he suffered a stroke and was off the campaign trail for some time. Polls didn't look good, but he did pull out the race and beat Dr. Oz and took the U.S. Senate seat in January. But then he had this episode just last week. But the doctor said he did not suffer an additional stroke. What's happened today is he's checked himself into a hospital to be treated for clinical depression. Now, could that be related to, you know, strokes and that kind of a...
Yeah, you know, I mean, the whole brain goes haywire, and clinical depression is the result of a chemical imbalance. So, plus he's having a very difficult time actually doing the work of a senator. It turns out that whatever damage he suffered from the stroke really was extensive in terms of limiting his ability to function. And they papered it over during the campaign, obviously, and they made it sound like it wasn't going to be a problem. He also never stopped to recover properly. He just plowed right back into the campaign.
Yeah.
And he needed a lot of rest, and he needed a lot of therapy, and he didn't get it. And now he's well behind where he's supposed to be, and he also may have missed a critical window of healing. Because he didn't slow down and stay home.
Right.
There was a story in the New York Times yesterday how his aides, and these are probably the same aides that 6 months ago were insisting that he's absolutely fine, right? Well, yeah, now they're admitting that his adjustment to serving in the Senate has been made vastly more difficult by the strains of his recovery. He's got serious mental health challenges, physical impairments, even with the accommodations that have been made to help him. at his desk in the chamber, he has a monitor that rises or lowers, providing closed captioning. A custom desk has been built to accommodate his technology when he takes his shift presiding over the Senate. He has live audio to text transcriptions.
Yeah, he's had auditory problems. He has trouble hearing and understanding people and then some speech issues. And this is still going on. I mean, the brain can adapt remarkably after a stroke in a reasonably healthy person. It adapts, right? Even though a lot of brain cells may have been damaged or killed off, the other remaining ones do have a way of adapting. But this sounds like it was a really serious stroke he suffered last year.
Yeah, auditory processing issues. And when it's stressful or he's in an unfamiliar situation, it gets worse. For example, when it gets really bad, Fetterman describes this as trying to make out the muffled voice of the teacher in the Peanuts cartoon. You know, the wah, wah, wah. That's what everything sounds like.
Oh, that's sad.
And he's very frustrated that he hasn't recovered, and he may have set himself back permanently by not taking the recommended rest during the campaign. And he keeps pushing himself in ways that might be detrimental. And maybe that has led to a terrible depression because he can't do what he wants to do, and things are getting worse.
Right. Well, they have a Democratic governor, so if he does step down, I imagine they'll just appoint another Democrat to the seat.
But you know what?
Pennsylvania.
His staff and family lied about his condition the whole time, and they fooled the voters into voting for him anyway.
Oh, especially since the Senate was locked. They done it. They wanted that seat badly because they did flip it to Democrat.
They were more interested in their power than they were interested in his life and his health. Right. But that's what you're getting. You got that with Feinstein's staff. You got that, you know, with Biden's staff. You got that with all these idiotic media outlets, too, right? This is something all the media should have been all over what really was going on with Fetterman, what really was going on with Feinstein, what's really going on with Biden, right? That's what you want. You want truth. You want accuracy. It's not about whether there's a Democrat or Republican in there. If they should be out of office, then you could vote in another guy who's a Democrat or another woman who's a Democrat. You don't have to cling to people who are so physically compromised and mentally compromised that they can't function. That's just unbelievably idiotic.
Yeah, so much of it now is, I'm not going to give any coverage to that. It's just the other side trying to make points. Not going to cover that. Not going to tell the truth about it because it's them and they're probably exaggerating. All right, when we return, chance for money, all right? It's dwindling. That's right. John's running out of cash to give you.
I'm dwindling.
$1,000 is up for grabs. Listen for the keyword. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
We have a special guest, I don't know if you heard, coming up after 3 o'clock. We told you a few minutes ago that there's a balloon club that claims it was their balloon that was shot down over the Yukon.
Yes, and, the Pico balloon hobbyists.
Yes, and we spent $400,000 on a missile to shoot down a balloon that might have cost as little as $12. It's a hobbyist club. They send up balloons with these trackers that you could pick up on ham radio, and they just like to watch where the balloon's going to go. Anyway, we have the guy from the club, Tom Medlin, on. He's
I think they're out of Illinois, right?
I knew somewhere in the Midwest. He's from Tennessee, but I guess the club's based in Illinois.
And they said that their balloon was missing in action, and the last tracking of it was Alaska, that area. So,
yeah,
pretty good chance that it was their balloon that we got.
Now, in the story, it says he's a retired FedEx engineer and co-host of the Amateur Radio Roundtable Show. And I guess he's an expert here on the balloons.
Well, we're going to learn a lot about Pico ballooning.
Medlin says he's got 3 Pico balloons in flight in the northern and southern hemispheres.
Yeah. These are people that like to send them up much higher than your normal balloon can go, and they have some tracking stuff on there so they can see where it is, and they use ham radio to communicate the location of the balloon. It's very exciting.
Yes. He has another balloon that's up there right now.
Well, it may not be for long.
Yeah, he says, I hope
Biden's aiming for it.
He says, I hope in the next few days we're not real trigger happy and start shooting down everything because he doesn't want to lose his $12 balloon.
All right. We'll talk to him after 3 o'clock. Back in the real horrible world, we have some bad news to tell you. It looks like Trank has made its way to San Francisco. What is Trank? That's the street name for a drug called xylazine. Xylazine is a pharmaceutical drug used for sedation, anesthesia, muscle relaxation in animals such as horses and cattle. In humans, it can have quite an impact on the body. It's now being mixed with fentanyl. And we talked about this story a while back because I think it was Philadelphia was being overwhelmed with the Trank. And now, according to the latest reports from the San Francisco Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, there are several people that died of overdoses who had xylazine in their system.
There is,
and this one's really bad because it could lead to amputation.
And Narcan doesn't work. If you you mix fentanyl with xylazine, you can't revive the guy with Narcan.
Because it's too powerful a relaxant, too powerful a sedative. It may not work. It also boosts the risk of wounds that can lead to amputation for those who inject it.
Ooh.
This term, harm reduction, which I hate when it comes to drug use because
it's a load of crap.
It means to just stand by, accept the fact that they're addicts and stand by and see if we can't save them if they're going to kill themselves. But if they start taking xylazine, there's nothing you can do. Like John just said, your Narcan may not work on them.
Yeah, well, that's an admission. They know that there is no drug treatment program that works for a lot of these people. That's why they say, hey, let's let them keep taking the drugs. In fact, we'll help facilitate the drug taking. And we'll come up with names like a safe needle program, harm reduction, Narcan stations. Saying is there's no
the woke acceptance of things like homelessness and crime and now drug use that is so dangerous because it really, I understand when people said years ago, oh, the war on drugs didn't work. We got to come up with something new. Maybe we do, but it ain't this. It ain't standing by and watching people die in the streets. A 49-year-old man who only gave his name as Brian sat at the corner of 8th and Stevenson Streets in San Francisco and picked at dozens of sores on his arms that were oozing or scabbed over.
Disgusting.
He's not sure if he injected xylazine, but he noticed different effects while injecting his regular combination of meth and fentanyl, like more drowsiness and a crazier feeling when he is high. The response was, I just live with it, as he picked on the sores.
Well,
he hasn't gone to a clinic.
He's lost the instinct.
He says these are painful. They're like bugs that crawl over your arms. You may end up being amputated.
This is what we were talking about with the writer Joe Quinones.
Sam Quinones.
That the addicts he saw lost the will to survive. The instinct for survival has disappeared.
That's exactly what that response is. I just live with this.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, you and I, if we woke up with sores all over our arms, we wouldn't spend the day picking at them, going, oh, well.
No.
We'd be screaming in panic.
You'd get to a doctor quickly to have it treated any way you could.
Yeah. So if he's just sitting there picking at his xylazine sores, it's over. He's not going to live very long.
No.
He's going to get some horrible infection, and they will start amputating body parts on the guy.
And this is another reason why your harm reduction doesn't work, because the people that push the drugs will just keep coming up with new formulas and new combinations that will get people even more addicted and more immune to any of your treatments. That's exactly what they do. Yeah.
This is the Mexican border. The ingredients are coming from China. And we're doing nothing with either China or Mexico. All the government levels of government are allowing this to happen. All this death in the street by the thousands and thousands. And death in people's homes. You know, in the last 2 years, since Biden took over, and obviously this has been going on long before Biden, but just to take the last two-year period, 150,000 people have died of opioid overdoses. 150,000!
Apparently, xylazine is also more difficult to even get recovery from. According to a DEA report, users may develop a physical dependence to xylazine itself, with some users reporting the withdrawal symptoms from xylazine as more severe than trying to withdraw from heroin or methadone.
Oh, my God.
Symptoms include sharp chest pains and seizures.
This is poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have
whoever came up with this one, man. I mean, there's always something that comes out of the drug world, but mixing this tranquilizers in there with...
Because these chemists are making new formations of the drugs. They're coming up with stuff that gets you a bigger and a bigger and a bigger high, gets you more and more addictive. And there's no end to that chemistry.
No. All right, when we come back, last hour, we presented a column that was printed in the El Segundo Times for Valentine's Day about a woman that really can't think about dating or love because of climate problems and the existential threat of climate change. The story when we come back is along similar lines, also seems like a parody, but apparently it's true, and your tax money is being spent on it. We'll explain what that is. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Eco-grief.
That's what it is, yes. It's getting a lot of attention now. It's the top story at Daily Mail. Joe Biden shot down my $12 balloon. Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade claims its weather balloon last pinged near Yukon on February 10th, hours before an F-22 brought down a UFO in the same area with a $400,000 missile. Our guest next hour knows all about the Balloon Brigade and Pico balloon enthusiasts. He will join us coming up after the news at 3 o'clock to talk.
What a government we have.
It sounds incredibly like another joke. Today's a lot of stories just don't sound real, right?
Joe Biden shot down my balloon.
An abundance of caution. You never know what could be in there.
But the spy balloon made it all the way across the country.
Yeah. Another quick reminder that the Moist Line is tomorrow. There are openings if you want to leave a message for everyone to hear. It's very exciting. It's your chance to sound off. You know, we don't take a lot of calls. We don't put a lot of callers on the air. So if you want to get in there, use the iHeartRadio app. The microphone icon is the way to connect to the Moist Line on the John and Ken section of the iHeartRadio app at KFI. Or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. All right, an hour ago, we did a story. The El Segundo Times had a woman do an essay about Valentine's Day, and it was all about how she finds it difficult to find love because she's overcome by grief for the climate. It's all she thinks about. In fact, my favorite part was she had a one-night stand with a guy, and when he was asking her, what are you thinking about right now? She went through her whole climate monologue, and
he left.
She never saw him again. Worried about the tomato.
She went into a lengthy monologue about what's going to happen to all the tomatoes.
What have I been saying all week? There's so much untreated mental illness in the country. Yeah, there really is. Now, hers isn't dangerous necessarily, but
she gets published in the LA Times. That's what's fascinating. Astra Lincoln. Let me tell you, you got to look this article up, or you should hear our dramatic reading from the 1 o'clock
hour.
Get
to the podcast.
That's on the podcast. I highly recommend it.
Now, along the same lines of what appears to be another spoof story, and apparently it isn't, this is from the Washington Times, one of their exclusives, the Interior Department's Fish and Wildlife Service is offering eco-grief training to employees who are struggling with a sense of trauma or loss as they witness a changing environment. The class will give staffers a chance to define what they mean personally by ecological grief, a space to examine their emotional reactions, and tools to grapple with those feelings.
Like a wrench?
No, it's more of a symbolic tool.
A hammer?
It's more psychological tools. More,
I see.
Ways to train your brain to deal with that.
to grapple with your eco-grief.
This apparently went out to employees in the Southwest region where the training's offered. Those who sign up will be led to find ways to act while caring for themselves.
This is great. It's a four-hour workshop seeking to normalize the wide range of emotional responses. Now, it is not normal to start crying and moaning and having a nervous breakdown because of a heat wave or a hurricane or whatever weather phenomena you think is excessive and is caused by climate change.
Yeah.
Just because there's a wildfire started by some idiot who tossed a match into a forest doesn't mean you have to start breaking down sobbing. It is not normal. See, that's the thing. You have a mental disorder. That lady who wrote the climate change and love article in the Times, all right, she's not wrapped too tight.
No, I'm sure she has problems grappling with many issues. It isn't just climate change.
She's got a few rubber bands loose there.
It's one of those people, you can see them. They're just sincerely always just concerned. They're on guard. They're always worried about something.
Why are they glorified? Why do they have such status? Like, the more you feel, the more you're mentally unbalanced, the more status you have in this culture, the more sensitive you are, the more you are worshipped and praised. Instead of somebody calling it out like it is, it's like, you got a screw loose here.
The article points out, you gotta toughen up
and live a bit.
Eco-anxiety is not recognized as a medical condition, but general anxiety is. And eco-anxiety has many of the same characteristics, according to a website, ecoanxiety.com. Did you know, John, there's a website?
Well, you know what? I have been looking up ecological grief this afternoon.
You have?
Yes.
Trying to learn more about the impacts.
The definition is the sadness people experience due to losing parts of their natural environment and the way of life due to climate change. And it has the five stages of grief, just like normal grief, right? Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. The symptoms are anxiety, stress, sleep disturbances, and nervousness. In severe cases, eco-anxiety causes a sensation of suffocation or even depression. Suffocation?
Suffocation. I guess you feel like you can't breathe. You get too worked up.
Yeah, I guess.
The American Psychological Association says it can manifest as a sense of being overwhelmed by the immensity of changes to the environment, or even a sense of anticipated loss, essentially mourning what someone believes to be the inevitable, particularly with things like climate change. So, I mean, did they get a complaint that Fish and Wildlife Service employees are just not handling too well what they see on a daily basis in their environment in the Southwest, and they responded to it?
I don't know, with
eco-grief counseling?
The American Psychological Association says not much is known about climate grief because it's nonsense. There's no clinical studies on treatments. It does seem to strike younger people more than older people, because older people are more mature and they haven't been frightened to death by all the idiots in the schools, in elementary, high school, and college, scaring them that we're all going to die.
And older people and even middle-aged people have also more responsibilities, experienced more. They can understand better. Young people without any real responsibilities, some of them just obsess over certain issues. This planet has been here for billions of years. I find it very narcissistic that this crowd just believes, oh, we're responsible for ending the entire planet's existence.
Right.
It's going to happen in my lifetime. I know it. Why would you get wrapped up in that?
No, it's
not. Plus, whatever the afterlife is, as there is one, you're only on this planet for, 60, 70, 80, 90 years.
Yeah.
Try to enjoy it.
Yeah,
Lord, you're going to sit there every day just wallowing in this sense of despair?
It's absurd.
Why would you do that?
It's absurd. It's a mental illness. They've been terrified to death by all these fear mongers in the schools. I'm telling you. Political parties learned that you can make a lot of money. All these activist groups make a lot of money. And it's about constantly. The quickest way to get somebody to write a check is to frighten them. The quickest way to get them to be loyal to your cause is to frighten them.
The training session is being led by Michelle Dewar, a wildlife biologist who teaches nature and counseling at the Adler Graduate School. Tom Callis, a psychologist who specialized in workshops on emotional intelligence, and also somebody named Jimmy Fox, a Fish and Wildlife employee. The notice admonishes employees to make sure that if you sign up, you do actually go to the workshop. It would be very disappointing to turn people away and then have registrants not show up for the training. So they're expecting a big crowd, I guess, from people to show up for this eco-grief workshop.
Eco-grief. Can you imagine signing up for an eco-grief therapy session?
Astra Lincoln would sign up.
Astra, yeah. Yeah, there's a place to meet some interesting dates, huh?
All right, again, coming up after 3 o'clock, our special guest will be what they call a balloon enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
There are hobby groups that launch balloons, and it's more specialized. They have a balloon that they can send very high up into the atmosphere. And they track them. And it's fun, I guess, using ham radios to communicate with each other, the current location of the balloon. I'm telling you. So it's possible that that's one of the balloons that was shot down by Joe Biden's F-22 with his $400,000 missile. Our guest will be on the show after 3 o'clock. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, again, did we shoot down a $12 balloon over Alaska last weekend? We will talk to a member of a group that they're balloon enthusiasts.
They're missing a balloon.
Pico balloon people, they can send the balloon high up there and then track it. It's their fun hobby. Their balloon is missing. They lost it in their tracking system around the same time as it got shot down, probably.
Northern Illinois Bottle Cap Balloon Brigade.
I think Biden said today we still don't know exactly what the things were, but maybe they're too embarrassed to say that they shot down some hobbyist balloons.
Every day I kept wondering, well, whose balloon is it, right? This is the biggest story in the world. Somebody knows it's their balloon missing.
Somebody launched that.
Because those balloons have transmitters on them. You have to track them. You have to collect the information.
All right, right now we catch up with the Unhinged. We begin with a small piece of audio from the wacko known as Chris Cuomo. Of course, he got dumped by CNN because he was doing too much for his brother, the former disgraced New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, helping him as much as he could behind the scenes. And CNN put up with that for a while, then finally said, it probably doesn't look good that he's helping him out and doing our TV show. So he's on another channel now, right? He's got another
News Nation.
News Nation, that's right.
He has,
but apparently he's very frustrated because all the interviews he's doing, I don't think he has a big audience there. Because all the interviews he's doing, it sounds like he's really upset that he got bounced.
He has 1/20th the audience he had at CNN.
Oh, then that. And CNN doesn't have big numbers these days anyway.
And that was a tiny audience to begin with. So he's got one. It's like having 1/20th of nothing.
He showed up on a podcast. Oh, good Lord, this name. Anthony Scaramucci.
Another nut from the Trump administration.
He's got a podcast. Open book with Anthony Scaramucci.
Yeah, well, everybody's
Yeah, he was a spokesman for like a week, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, everybody's got a podcast. We have a podcast.
Well, we do, but there's no valuable 3-hour show, and it's got a long history.
There's no qualifications to have a podcast.
Well, why should there be? I mean,
no, it's
not that anybody's going to listen, but if you want to sit there and put something together.
It's the beauty of freedom.
Right. I don't know whether or not everybody who does this monetizes it much, but Scaramucci, I have no idea. But he appeared on the show, and he talked a bit about his frustrations with being dumped by CNN. Here's a short clip.
I have learned to accept it. I had to accept because I was going to kill everybody, including myself. Things can consume you. Italians are so passionate. And I really had to fight against that because, you know, just like you did, I got too many people counting on me.
Wow.
I've got too many people. Does he have a bunch of kids? Or what is he talking about?
Well, he has a family, yeah. I don't know. He wanted to kill everybody, though.
You're right. Chris's News Nation show averages 63,000 viewers a night. Well, that is pretty low. Even though there's a billion cable channels and all this streaming, that just sounds really low.
That is very low.
Cuomo Primetime did average at one point 1 million viewers a night. So there's your comparison.
Yeah.
Oh, he got shrunk. Yeah, and he's really, really devastated. He said that after he got bleep canned, He said he started therapy. Wow. You know what? The both of them, and we found this out with Andrew Cuomo, too. They're such egotistical. And Andrew Cuomo got the media in trance for a while because he was doing those daily press conferences during COVID. They talk fast. They're passionate. They make you think that they're really on the issue.
He was because Andrew became a daddy figure for all the silly COVID-phobic freaks who needed somebody on TV, reassuring them that everything will be okay.
Now, and then with the two of them going at it, and I guess Andrew Cuomo would appear on Chris Cuomo's CNN show we had the advent of the Cuomosexuals. Remember that?
Yes.
Women who were just obsessed with the pair, thought they were the sexiest, most brilliant men and on the planet.
He had a best-selling book on how great he was as a COVID leader until we found out he killed thousands of people in the nursing homes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Used taxpayer money to research and write that book. He's a total fraud, and his brother was actually calling up. I think he was trying to dig up dirt on the women who were accusing Andrew of inappropriate behavior.
Now, speaking of total frauds, there's another update on. We haven't talked about Sam Bankman-Fried in a while. That was the co-founder of FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange company that went bankrupt. Because this guy was spending money on a lavish lifestyle. He was released after he was arrested in the Bahamas, and they dragged him back to the U.S. They released him on $250 million recognizance bond. People were curious, who are the guarantors of that? Now, we knew about his parents, right? They're both Stanford professors. But now we found out the names of at least two more. One is Larry Kramer, who's president of the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation and Dean Emeritus at Stanford Law School, and somebody else named Andreas Papke, a senior research scientist at Stanford. Their names were sealed until this week, and they were eventually made public. Kramer said that his parents have been friends of mine since the mid-90s. During the past 2 years, while my family faced a harrowing battle with cancer, they were the truest of friends, bringing food, moral support, frequently stepping in at a moment's notice to help. So he just wanted to help them in their times of crisis.
So he was going to help bail out this criminal.
The skunk. That guy signed a $500,000 unsecured bond. The other guy signed a same type of bond for $250,000.
Boy, he actually used a family cancer case as a shield against criticism. Makes me nuts when people do that.
Well, he tried to say it's got nothing to do with the case against the son. I was just trying to help out people that need my help.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Could have been I was giving the money to hire a hitman to murder somebody, but they wanted my help, so I gave them my help.
Yeah. Is there any crime that he wouldn't have given money for to guarantee the bond?
Now, Bankman-Fried is finally going to have a hearing in New York later this week, and then if everything goes as expected, he'll be on trial in October. He has, of course, pled not guilty. You may have seen the story the other day that there's new restrictions on him because he figured out a way to access the internet and watch the Super Bowl last Sunday. That upset the judge. There's restrictions on his use of the internet because he could be scamming more people or trying to find other ways to help out his cause. So he got in trouble for that. For trying to do that. But I haven't been much about this case in the last couple of months since the story broke late last year.
Yeah, well, I think the girlfriend's going to be testifying against him.
I think she will. But, I mean, he's claiming that she sunk him because he put all that money into her research company and it went belly up. And that swallowed up a lot of the resources of FTX.
Yeah, but he wasn't
depositor's money.
He wasn't authorized to take the money out of FTX.
He wasn't.
Nice try at a cover story. But he owned both of those companies. She was just managing the other one.
Yeah.
And that was a way of laundering the money, of hiding it.
Right. If people give you money as a deposit for your cryptocurrency FTX, they don't know that you're going to turn around and use it to invest in some other side company. I forget what that other company that she ran did, but that you can't do that. I don't know how he's going to cover that up. All right, when we come back, the question is, did Joe Biden shoot down a $12 balloon? There is a balloon hobbyist club based in Illinois, which reports one of its balloons went missing in action around the same time that our jets downed an object over Alaska. We're going to talk to a member of this hobbyist club when we return. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark off today. We've got Jason Middleton live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.